Welcome back to Idaho Matters on a Friday, the final Friday of June 2020. I'm George Prentice. Up next, Boise Mayor Lauren McLean. I had an opportunity to have a conversation with the mayor this week about on a number of topics. We thought it would be important to address upfront that Ada County has returned to stage three, and Mayor McLean did issue a separate public health order for the city of Boise.
It is. This returns Boise to stage three. And the reason I issued an order in addition to Central District Health doing that is to address Boise's specific needs, including city council meetings that will now be virtual, planning and zoning commission hearings that will be virtual, what is and isn't opened, and then crowd control or visitor control at the airport.
A couple of other things here. I just want to take a look at this. By the way, bike bars, is that the pedal-powered a device that we see rolling around town?
Great question, George. Yes, we did include bike bars in our order because it's separate from our definition of bar in the city of Boise. Mm-hmm. And given the impact of what we've seen with regard to lack of social distancing or masking in bars, and because bike bars have their own special little section in our code, and we included that because it's just not possible to maintain social distancing on a bike bar in the same way Central District Health is saying bars themselves are high risk.
No public display of fireworks this 4th of July, right?
That of course, was a tough decision. We'd been working in partnership with Garden City and Ada County to create a firework opportunity that would be more safe in the age of coronavirus out at the fairgrounds. But given the new order and the limit of 50 people at events and Central District Health saying that festivals and other venues need to close, we had to cancel fireworks and save all those fireworks we have for a celebration in 2021.
That said, we're beginning to see some of the tents pop up around town, and these are the vendors that sell so-called safe and sane fireworks, yes?
Yes, and that's such a great classification, right? Safe and sane fireworks, the beauty of legal language. They are selling fireworks around town. Those fireworks are legal to use in our city limits, mm-hmm. I think from sometime this weekend through July 5th. And we encourage everyone, if they're going to pop off fireworks, to do it safely, mm-hmm. not to bring in those larger ones that are dangerous that are sold other places. And you cannot do fireworks in the foothills, or we'll have what we saw a couple years ago around the 4th of July, big fires that put people at risk.
That said, it's usually a busy night for Boise Fire.
It is usually a busy night.
Yeah. On the issue of the public health order, what prevents you from issuing a mandatory face covering order?
I appreciate that question, George. These are the things that I think through with that, because the science is clear that when I put my mask on, I'm protecting you. And if you choose not to wear a mask around me, you're putting me at more risk. And if people walking down the streets were wearing masks, walking into buildings were wearing masks, and we'd be able to stop the rapid spread that we're seeing right now. I am not afraid to make tough decisions or decisions that are unpopular. I think you've seen that in some of the decisions I've had to make in the last 6 months. What's prevented me from taking this step is my concern for the safety of our officers that would be expected to enforce it. I'm asking them to approach more people that are unmasked. And then the impact that could potentially have with virus spreading in our ranks. But also we've seen that this mask issue is something that has pushed people into corners and camps. And while I'm seeking to bring our community together to address this issue and the economic crisis and the needs we have to build out of this, I don't want to inadvertently create a situation where a requirement that's difficult to enforce actually creates intentional conflict when coming together is so important right now.
That said, I'm certain that you amplify the proper use and celebrate those who do use face coverings.
Yes, I try to. I notice now that when I walk down the street in a mask, people actually recognize me just by eyes, and I'm starting to do the same by others. Our city has the requirement of our employees that we wear them. I talk with our employees about why we need to model as leaders wearing masks. And yes, we try to seek out and amplify businesses and that are masking in their employees and asking the public to mask when coming through, and support those businesses because it's a tough call they made, but it's the right thing to do. And all of that said, if we continue to see escalated virus counts in conversations with Central District Health and the leaders of the hospitals in this community, if it becomes absolutely necessary that our city do it or that the Central District Health do it, and we'll take a look at that. It's never off the table. I just am really concerned about putting our employees in harm's way and then creating opportunities where people can divide us purposely.
I'd like to talk maybe a little bit more about the 4th of July, Independence Day, and maybe an opportunity to reconsider American ideology and what this pandemic has revealed about us, what the Black Lives Movement has revealed about us collectively, and maybe there might be an opportunity for us to reconsider what is an American and what is an American ideal.
You know, George, I really love that question. And when we were thinking even about how to celebrate 4th of July, whether or not having fireworks would be safe with the crowds of people that come together, we talked here about, would it be possible to reimagine what a celebration looks like based on the ideals of our nation and what brought our founding fathers to attempt to create a more perfect union, recognizing that democracy is day by day by day requires citizens to work at it, always in pursuit of better justice. And could we do something that was a nod to the incredibly tough time we're in, the importance of community and connection to people, and progress in the long run? You know, given the coronavirus, we weren't able to create that, but it really got me thinking about what is it about the 4th of July and who are we as a people that we must reflect on and think about? And then since then, we've had the Black Lives Matter protests, the vigil here, the calls on us to do more. As Americans, we often think of ourselves as that individual piece, you know, especially in the West, we were pioneers, we came out, we struck out on our own. But at the same time, we have, if we want to create that more perfect union, we have a responsibility to think about how our actions impact others and how we use our energy, thoughts, dialogue, and willingness to come together in common cause to address today's needs, so many of which have been highlighted by coronavirus. And I want to point out or share with you two things I've read recently. I picked up a speech by Frederick Douglass that he gave to the Corinthian Society in Rochester, New York on July 5th, 1852.
Wow.
And this was a group of abolitionists that asked him to speak. And he took the opportunity to not only laud the wonder of our founding documents and this experiment at that point that was only 76 years old, that was our democracy, but to remind those people and really to remind our country that those freedoms hadn't yet been extended to everyone. And he said, "Are the great principles of political freedom and of national justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us?" And he goes on to ask more questions and to point out that he, as a Black man, still hadn't realized that promise of our nation, and we had a lot of work to do. And then 100 years later, Martin Luther King wrote, so in 1952, he says, "All I want is for us to make real what's already on paper." And those are, and we're still working hard to make real what's already on paper, as MLK asked us to, that he said he wanted to do 60 plus years ago. It's our job as residents of this great country and of this city to reflect on what we've seen come out of coronavirus and the fissures in our own community and then nationally, and to think how we take what was created before us with all its wonder, but also with all its weaknesses. And I'd call on all of us in this community to think about what our role is in achieving justice and equality for everyone. And that really includes everyone. And in these tough, tough times, it's more important than ever to get out of this, and that we double down on the beliefs that, you know, created this country, on the importance of civic engagement and civil dialogue, and ultimately our goals of achieving a better, more perfect union that's justice for everyone.
She is Boise Mayor Lauren McClain. Thank you. Happy 4th of July to you.
Thank you. Happy 4th of July, George.
And that conversation and all of our coverage is available on our website, and that's BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. We will leave you on this Friday with a news quiz. I always like to have one quiz for you, so here is the question for Friday. What very popular Eastern Idaho event, which attracts nearly 250,000 people each summer, is planning to go on as scheduled? Well, the Eastern Idaho State Fair Board has voted to proceed with their 2020 fair. The Bingham News Chronicle reported this week that in spite of the mayor of Blackfoot pleading with the board not to do this, the fair is going on as scheduled, and on the fair's website, quote, efforts in preparation for the 2020 fair and summer events are still in full swing. This year, our annual fair dates are September 4th through the 12th. No changes have been made to our schedule of events as of this point. Wow. 250,000 visitors each year. Something to chew on this weekend. Thank you for joining us on this Friday. Be sure to tune in Monday for a look at new sexual abuse allegations against the Catholic Church in Idaho. Plus, we'll hear the final installment of Locked, our award-winning podcast on a transgender inmate who has been in a years-long court battle with the state to get gender confirmation surgery. What's next for her? We'll find out. Our producers are Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. Our production assistant is Molly Wampler. Our executive producers are Paul Stribling and Tom Michael. Our theme music was written and produced by Boise musician Will Hall. I'm George Prentice. Lucky you, Gemma Gaudette is here on Monday. Have a lovely weekend. You can listen to today's program and previous interviews by subscribing to the Idaho Matters podcast. Happy Friday.